Alrighty, tonight we conclude our series on Behold, I Am Coming Soon. And so we have, let me just kind of give you a thumbnail sketch of all that we've covered. We begin with the time just before the rapture. What did we say that Jesus said about that time? He said it'll be like the days of Noah. People will be marrying and given in marriage. They'll be drinking. They'll be eating. It'll be business as usual. And yet, destruction came upon them, you know, those who were left behind, right? And so he makes a parallel to what it'll be like before. It'll be business as usual. You know, we're experiencing a lot of the signs that Jesus talked about in Matthew 24 about plagues. A plague is, you know, what we're experiencing, a pandemic, earthquakes, famines. You know, it's just amazing all that's going on simultaneously, you know, or economic earthquakes as well, and so on. And so that'll be, and then we set that in a flash, in a nanosecond. In fact, the Greek word where it says in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, that's 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where it says in a moment, the Greek word for moment is atomos. We get our English word atom, which means an indivisible measure of time. So you can't split time any more than that nanosecond, and Jesus will come up, meet us where? In the air. It'll be called the gathering, the departure, the day of the Lord. You know, we looked at all that. And then we will, from that point on, we who are raptured with Christ, with those who went before us, those who died in Christ, will be always, from that point on, together with the Lord forever. So, you know, it's a great hope. Paul called it, writing to Titus, the blessed hope, looking to the blessed hope. And that is our hope as believers. You know, this earth is not my home. We're just a passing through, right? And every day, how many of y'all are thankful every passing day that this earth is not our final destiny? Right? We have a better planet, a better place to go, not made by human hands. And then thus begins what will begin a seven-year tribulation is this man that will arise. He will emerge from the masses, known as the Antichrist, the son of perdition, the son of the devil. There are many designations in Scripture for him, the man of lawlessness. He will emerge after the church is taken out of the picture, and he will quickly make a seven-year peace treaty with the nation of Israel. Now, that peace treaty will mark the beginning of 7 years, 3.5 years of worldwide peace, one world religion, one world government. You know, it's not hard to see from our existence today, just looking at the news, that that's what we're moving towards, right? A one world government. You talk about communism. I mean, that's what it's going to be worldwide. And it'll be a tyrannical reign after the first 3.5 years, because then the Antichrist will break treaty with the Jews and then will demand that people worship him. He will do away with what the Bible calls the harlot, the prostitute, and Babylon. And there will be no more one world religion. It'll be the worship of him and him alone. And then he'll give people the mark to be able to buy, sell, etc., etc. God will rise up two witnesses. We said, I believe it's Moses and Elijah who will proclaim the gospel during the tribulation. 144,000 Jews will get saved. And they themselves, excuse me, they are male virgin Jews that will proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. They will be persecuted. Some of them, their lives will be taken. They will die as martyrs. And the book of Revelation says, I believe it's Revelation chapter 4, Revelation chapter 6, that talks about a special altar in heaven where their lives are protected after they have gone to heaven. Beautiful, beautiful. So that happens. And then you know, we talked about the 200 million man army from known as the kings of the east will come down the Euphrates, riding horses, and then they will try to make war with the Antichrist and his forces. And then at that point, Jesus returns with all of us. We'll return with him. And he will, that's called the Battle of Armageddon. He will, with his word, devour all of the enemies. He will cast the devil into the abyss for how long? For a thousand years. And then he'll cast the beast and the false prophet into the lake of fire forever. And then at that point, Jesus will, number one, judge the nations. He will establish his thousand-year reign, which we looked at last week. 1,000 years of paradise restored. Isn't that awesome? We talked about how the lion will become an herbivore and no longer a carnivore. God will rewire his stomach. You know, all of these predators, there won't be any predators anymore. The Bible says the infant will be playing with a cobra, with the asp. Will be lying beside. I wouldn't mind petting a cobra. Can I have a pet iguana, Miss Normie, with those long beards? Okay, I can feed them the mice that I'm trapping at the house. And then it says that the wolf will lie down with the lamb, and there will be peace. Between the species of animals, and that's going to be a glorious day. So I failed to have us look at one verse of scripture about the millennium. So that's where we want to start tonight, and then we're going to finish with the new heaven and the new earth. All right, let's open our Bibles to Isaiah chapter 65, please. Isaiah chapter 65. Would someone like to read verse 20? Very, very interesting passage of scripture regarding the millennial reign of Christ when he establishes his reign on earth. Please remember, before someone reads it, please remember that some people, though we get our resurrection bodies at the rapture, at the end of the tribulation, many will get, it's called the first resurrection, many will get their resurrection bodies, but not everybody. Some people will go into the millennial reign of Christ with their physical, death-doomed, mortal bodies. How do we know that? Who would like to read verse 20? 65, yes, sir, of Isaiah.
Okay, there shall be no more than an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old. But the sinner, being 100 years old, shall be accursed.
Okay, very interesting, huh? I think the NIV says that if one doesn't reach 100 years old, it'll be thought of that he was accursed by God. It's one translation. What does yours read, Miss Karen?
Please. Well, this is the last one.
Just the last part, please.
He who dies at 100 will be thought a mere youth. He who fails to reach 100 will be.
There you go. He who fails to reach 100 will be considered cursed by God. Now, very interesting. First of all, there will not be any premature infant deaths. Thank God for that. You know, I have my oldest daughter miscarried her first child. She named the first child. And thank God, it was a little girl. And, we'll get to hold her in heaven. But there won't be that kind of death. There won't be any stillbirths. There won't be any miscarriages during the millennial reign. There will be women giving birth to children, yes. But none will die prematurely. And then notice also, what's going to be the average age of every human being? 100 years of age. What will that say about the earthly conditions to where the sun will no longer, the ultraviolet rays of the sun will no longer hasten the aging process within us. Says a lot, doesn't it? And those who don't reach, the sinner who doesn't reach 100 years of age, they're going to be thought that they were, you know, that something was wrong with them, that they were very sinful to have died prematurely. before the year of 100 years. Interesting, huh? It'll be quite some time, but that's not, the millennial reign is not the final place. Now, remember that after the millennium, then Jesus will judge everybody. He will turn Satan loose for a season. Satan will deceive the nations. It just, every time I say that, it just blows my mind how someone could sit and live and walk and see Jesus Christ with his own eyes or her own eyes, and still at some point at the end of the millennial reign rebel against Christ and join Satan's forces and want to attack Christ. I don't get it. And so that'll be called the Battle of Gog and Magog. Yes, sir. Oh, no. That'll be called the Battle of Gog and Magog. And once again, Jesus is going to speak his word and devour them. You know, people are dumb. Human nature is stubborn. It is prideful. It has a blinding sense of pride. Anyway, that's human nature. So after that, then the great white throne judgment. People are judged. Those who rejected Christ will stand before the great white throne judgment. If their names were not found in the book of life, then the other books are going to be open that had every sin recorded, since they were accountable for their sin. You know, I believe in an age of accountability. I believe that between, you know, it differs with child, from child to child, but kind of a zone of between maybe 10 to 12 to 13 years is the age of accountability. That if someone dies before that age, they'll go straight to heaven. If someone dies after that age, you know, I'm not the expert. I can't tell you what it is, but that they will be held accountable for their sins. And from that point on, then God's going to hold every sin accountable to them because they rejected the free gift of salvation. Okay, now comes the new heaven and the earth. Let's look at a couple of promises. Who would like to read Isaiah 66 verse 22, please? Isaiah 66 verse 22. There you go. So it speaks of a promise, even under the old covenant, that God will make the new heavens and the new earth. Okay, he says he will make them. So millennia, hundreds of years before our life today and before, you know, the new heaven and the new earth, the prophet Isaiah is prophesying that the Lord's going to create something new, a new heaven and a new earth. Who would like to read Isaiah chapter 65, verse 17, please?
I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered or come to mind.
Wow, look at the last part of that verse. The former earth, the earth we are currently living in, our lives in this, on this earth, and experiencing the heavens that we experience, will not be remembered or even come to mind when we have our lives in the new heaven and the new earth. Yes, sir.
The new earth, will that be a transformed earth?
Yes, sir. We're going to look at that shortly. Yes, sir. It'll be transformed. Yes, sir. All right. Okay, so it's very, very interesting. So take note that, you know, people say, well, won't we remember our sins? No, we won't remember our sins. Won't I remember my divorce? No, you won't remember your divorce. Yes, sir.
Another verse says that they'll be buried as far as the east as from the west.
That's right. Psalm 103. Absolutely. That he'll separate our sins as far as the east is from the west. Very good verse.
The
yes,
west,
sir.
That's a long way.
They never meet, do they? They go in opposite directions to infinity. Right? You understand that it's very critical that we understand that verse from what it doesn't say as from what it does say. If it had said that the Lord will separate our sins as far as the north is from the south, well, they're going to meet at opposite poles, right? If I head north, as north as I can get, that's going to take me to the North Pole. If I keep going, what direction do I start going in?
South.
So my sins will meet at the opposite caps of the earth. But it doesn't say that. It says as far as the east is from the west. Well, you'll go to infinity. They never meet. Whoo, that gives me goosebumps. Man, Lord have mercy. That's a powerful promise. So anyway, so we won't have recollection of all the bad things we suffered, of the bad experiences, of the way we were betrayed, abandoned, the way we were lied about, or whatever the case was. We will not have any recollection of that. They will not come to mind. We will only have beautiful memories of just the new heaven and the new earth. All right? Another characteristic, let's look at 2 Peter chapter 3, please. Is this interesting? Good. Good stuff, huh? 2 Peter chapter 3. Who would like to read verses 10 through 13?
But the day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness.
Okay, we have a little bit to unpack here. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. We've spoken about that. The heavens will pass away, and with a great noise. Stop there. Let's look at the word noise. Okay, very interesting in the Greek language. How many of y'all appreciate the Greek language? We kind of get a little deeper. We define it. Okay, who can remember English class? Who remembers onomatopoeia? What is onomatopoeia? Nobody? Somebody? It's how you spell the sound of something, right? Like we say, a bee will buzz. So we spell B-U-Z-Z based on the sound that the bee makes. So we spell out the sound that the bee makes. Or a cow will moo, M-O-O, based on the sound. So in the Greek language, the word noise is pronounced hiss. A hissing sound, a great hissing sound, which experts believe to be nuclear weaponry. Okay, just take note of that. Take note of that, all right? And let's read on. It says it'll make a great hissing noise. And notice here, the elements will melt with fervent heat. Well, doesn't that speak of, like, say, for example, nuclear weapons? Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. All right? Now, do I believe that Jesus will play a part in the burning up? I do. Remember, he's the one that spoke his word, and his word consumed, like fire devoured the enemies of God when he comes down at the Battle of Armageddon. So I wouldn't put it past the Lord. I don't have like concrete chapter and verse, but this is speculation on my part. I want to be clear that as I communicated to you that it is in fact speculation. It's not concrete, but I believe that part of that fervent heat will come from the mouth of the Lord devouring the surface of the earth, along with the aftermath of nuclear exchange. I do believe that the Bible does teach that there will be such a thing as nuclear exchange in the future. Okay? How do I get that? How do I arrive at that conclusion? You know, the book of Revelation, and I want to say probably chapter 9, speaks of an angel withdrawing a great weapon, a big sword, is the way the wording says it. Well, the only way I can understand a big sword versus a small sword is, what's the biggest sword we have, quote unquote, in today's weaponry? Nuclear weapons, right?
Doesn't that belong to God too?
It does. Absolutely. The energy does. Nuclear energy certainly does. And Ezekiel 37, Ezekiel 38 speaks of nuclear exchange, fire coming down from heaven. So I believe that will play a part in the whole earth getting a transformation. So absolutely. So we see here some of this stuff that's going to come down. I do believe with all my heart. I remember teaching this years ago, and I had a church member at the time say, "Do you really think they were scared spitless?" I'm like, you know, and they said, "Do you think we'll see it in our lifetime?" I said, "I don't know. We might not." But the Bible says it's going to happen. Nuclear warfare will happen. All right? So, that's right. No one knows the day or the hour but the Father. Right?
Not even Jesus.
Right. Okay. All right. So, we see here, that was just verse 10. Verse 11. "Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved," once again, dissolved nuclear weaponry, "what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness?" I should tell you here that there's, I don't know if it's Zechariah or Zephaniah, one of the Old Testament smaller prophets, minor prophets, predicts a day when people will be burned up while they're walking and their flesh will fall off while they are walking. Well, what kind of heat can cause that? Let me rephrase that. What kind of heat has caused that in the past? Nuclear energy. Yes, sir.
Several years ago, there was a big explosion in the railroad yards in Decatur.
Yes, sir.
My father-in-law at that time worked there as a crew dispatcher.
Yes, sir.
They had what they called a beanery, which was a place for them to get something to eat.
Right.
And they went out on their train crews and stuff.
Uh-huh.
Some of the people that got killed in that explosion were just like you said. They were walking.
Mm-hmm.
And they got hit with that explosion and the flesh came out of the body.
That's right. So you have skeletons standing still after that. Only that kind of heat, that hot, can cause that. Thank you for that illustration, sir. Well, it has happened. So it's not beyond the realm of possibility. It's all, we're living in that age. Like, say for example, okay, let me kind of put a posh, push the pause button on 2 Peter 3. Say for example, where would we be if God had allowed Hitler to develop nuclear weapons?
We'd be gone.
We'd be gone. That sucker would have pulled the trigger. How many of y'all believe that?
I believe.
Yes. But God knows the times, and God raises some rulers, and He puts some rulers down according to His sovereign plan. Thank God that Hitler didn't have that, because he would have used it. Trust me.
No, no, that which was pastor.
Yes.
Uh-huh. He always says it wasn't in his life, but he thought it would be in power.
It very well could be. Absolutely. It is very close. Let me say, we are living in the most prophesied time in Scripture. I made a couple of allusions in the previous weeks about, you know, some of you were alive. I wasn't, but some of you were alive when Israel was recognized as a state, right? David Ben-Gurion, prime minister of Israel, declared that in one day, just as Isaiah had predicted it would be. In one day, Zion gave birth to her children. It became a nation. Can a nation be born in one day? That's what Isaiah said. Yes. And then in 1967, the Six-Day War, when the Jews took possession of Jerusalem as their city for... They had not had that as their city for millennia. And here they are. So we are living in the most prophesied time in Scripture. Alright? Just let's not be dismissive that, oh, it'll be the next generation. You know, I talk to so many people, some of my friends, they're like, it won't happen in my lifetime. Well, that's not the way the disciples lived, like it was going to happen in their lifetime. And I think that's good company, and I believe it's going to happen. I have to believe it's going to happen in my lifetime, and if it doesn't, that's okay, but I've got to teach it that way. Yes, sir.
I have no knowledge of this, but I've heard it.
Yes, sir.
that just recently there's been some kind of a peace treaty signed over there.
Wow.
In the last few days.
Wow. Yes, sir. We have to be aware of what happens to Israel, because that is that's a thermostat to all of this. Let's move on here. It says, looking for, verse 12, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, what promise? We've already checked out His promise in Isaiah 65:17 and Isaiah 62:66-22, rather. We've seen those promises. Based on that promise, then Peter says, verse 13, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Let's be clear about this. No evil can enter the gates. There will be no evil. There will be no sin. The new heavens and the new earth will be a home of what? Righteousness, love, faith, peace, goodness, gentleness. It's hard for us to fathom. Can you imagine that if we turned on, if they had the news, you know, today so many believers were a blessing to other people and they just helped them and they were loving on each other and they were worshiping the Lord in Jerusalem and, you know, it's just going to be all good. Nothing bad, nothing destructive, nothing chaotic, nothing evil. It's hard for us to imagine how the new heavens and the earth will be being the home of righteousness, right? But that's what it says. Okay, go with me to Hebrews chapter 1, please. Take a left. Who would like to read verses 10 through 12, please? Please?
He also says, in the beginning, O Lord, you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment. You will roll them up like a robe. Like a garment, they will be changed. But you remain the same, and your years will never end.
Very good. That word change, alassos in the Greek, means to exchange one for another. Okay? To exchange one for another. How many of you ladies bought something at the department store and it didn't fit, so you had to go back to exchange it? Or something. It was too, we'll say it was too big on you. Right? Yeah. Yeah. You wanted a smaller size because you look so fabulous, Miss Normie.
You have to exchange something, you have to go back and shop.
That's right. Shop therapy, right? Retail therapy. So, so you have to exchange it. That's what's going to happen to the new earth and the new heaven and the new earth. It's not going to. God's not going to give us a brand new earth. It'll be this earth with a complete makeover.
Amen.
You know, makeovers are real big. But you know, we watch. Who's ever watched the program What Not to Wear? That's all about a total makeover. Do you like? I like Clint and Stacy. I mean, they've got real fashion sense and such. And they bring in some of the weirdest looking creatures, guys and gals, not just gals, but guys and gals that dress horridly. But and they go through the whole process and they look great after they're done with them. And I like the ladies, they get their own makeup done. They get their own hairstylist. I mean, they go all out and they look completely different. And I think that that's what the new heaven and the new earth will look like. It'll be completely different, you know, what God will do. Yes, sir?
Did you ever think about what will not be there?
Yes.
Like police stations?
Right.
Hospital?
Right.
Jail?
Right.
Supreme Court?
Right.
None of that stuff.
None of that. Nothing. No human government.
But I don't think we're burying preachers there.
Well, I guess I'm glad I can still work myself out of a job. All right, so it'll change. It'll all be changed, okay? Go with me to Revelation 21. Buckle your seatbelts. We're going to look at some stuff that's really amazing, okay? I'll read the first few verses. Revelation 21, beginning with verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Stop there. There was no more sea. Sea is something that separates people. Okay? The Bible has different applications for sea. In this one particular case, sea represents a separating factor. There will be no more separation. I'll be happy to be able to access my grandchildren when I want them. At the moment of just the thought. I won't have to hop on a plane. I won't have to book a flight. I won't have to book a trip. I won't have to get in my car and drive down a couple hundred miles to be with my kids. Just at the moment of a thought, we will travel at the speed of thought. You think it and you're there. That's the fastest mode of travel in human understanding. Faster than the speed of light. Speed of light being 186,000 minutes or seconds rather, 186,000 miles per second. Can you imagine covering 186,000 miles in 1 second? That's crazy, but the speed of thought is faster yet. You think it and you're there. So, hallelujah for no separation. All right, next one. Next. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared. Remember Jesus said, I go to my Father's house and prepare a place for you. Well, here it is. It's fully prepared. Prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and God himself will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. Wow! God himself, the Father, will be in our midst. That's verse 4. God will wipe every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Remember, we won't have recollection of the former earth or the former heaven. Verse 5, then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I will make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things. I will be his God and he shall be my son. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Verse 9. Who would like to read verses 9 through 12, please?
Somebody else, go ahead.
Go ahead.
9 through 12.
Yes, sir.
And
please.
And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will shew thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and shewed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. And the city lieth 4 square, and the length is as large as the breadth, and he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs, the length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof, and 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel.
Okay, stop there, sir, please. Okay, so let's look at the dimensions. My margin says it's going to be 377 miles cubed. The New Jerusalem, cubed. That means it'll be 1,377 miles high, 1,377 miles wide, 1,377 miles long, cubed. Now, to give us a better understanding, that's from New York to Florida, from Washington, D.C. to the end of Colorado. Wow. And notice the wall is how high? It's a decorative wall because it's only 216 feet. So we have this cubed city, 1,377, let's just say for rounding off purposes, 1,400 miles cubed. And then you have a decorative wall that's only 216 feet. To give you perspective on that, that'd be like erecting a wall 2 inches high at the base of the Empire State Building. Interesting, huh? It said here, one of the verses we read, that the glory of God will be everywhere. Amen. Wow. Wow. Yes, sir?
It's interesting, it's like a cube. Because when we think of a city or something, it's on a flat surface.
Right.
Yeah. In a cube, you have so much area everywhere. I guess you think like the difference between a storefront and a skyscraper.
Right, exactly.
I don't know what's going to be in that cube, but
there's a lot of area. There's a lot of area, yes, sir. Well said. I like that. Yes, sir.
It's kind of interesting also that the number 12 is used so much in this new city.
Yes, sir.
You know, it's got 12 foundations,
yes.
12 gates.
Right.
The length here in the city is 12,000.
Right. Yes, sir.
The wall is 144 cubits, which is a multiple of
12 times 12, yes. Very well. Great observation. Absolutely. All righty. So then let's skip down to, because it talks about the foundation. Verse 22. Who would like to read verses 22 through 27? Okay. Wow. We're not done yet. Revelation 20, we got a couple minutes. I got to sneak this in. Revelation 22, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12, there it is again, 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. You know, after war, years of war on this earth, the nations will be healed. And there shall be no more curse. Hallelujah. But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall, whoa, get ready, they shall see the Father's face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. And there shall be no night there. They will need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. We shall see the face of the Father. Remember what Jesus said? No man could look at God and live. That's right. And then Moses said, Lord, let me see your glory. He said, you cannot see my face. No man can see my face and live. But in heaven, we'll see the face. Go ahead, sir.
We all realize that we are created for fellowship with God and you really see it here.
Yes, sir.
We're really together.
Yes.
And you can actually look at it.
Yes, sir. Woo! Good stuff, huh? Good study? Good way to end it, huh? Very good.